Now I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Good afternoon. It's very good to be with you. Thank you very much for your welcome. Thank you for your welcome, Father Philip. Yes, indeed, we used to work together many, many years ago when we both looked young. And you probably also may or may not recognise that we both come from the great county of Yorkshire. So we have various burdens in our lives in common that we have to share and bear and work with. But it's really good to be with you and to be in this beautiful church and to be here together. And I'm delighted that Father Philip set our worship in the context of saying how important it is to pray. Prayer is very important. And I want to say three things this afternoon. That's what you do in a sermon, isn't it? You say three things. So I want to make three points very simply. And my first point is precisely about prayer. Because it struck me as I was thinking about coming here again today, because believe it or not, this is not the first ever week of prayer for Christian Unity through which I have passed in my life. Can you believe that? And I suspect that may be true for some of you as well. Some of you maybe have been through this way before. Maybe some of you, like me, have endured several weeks of prayer for Christian Unity. And it maybe is one of those things that we go through because we go through it. Because it's there, we do it. That's what we do. We're good, obedient human beings. But I did just wonder, in thinking about this, that it seemed to me that we're in danger of missing something really significant and profound here. And as Father Philip helpfully, I think, put it, the priority of what we're doing here is about saying our prayers. It's about prayer. What does that mean? When you think of saying your prayers, what does that mean for you? What's the first thing that comes into your mind when you think about saying your prayers? Prayer, of course, is a very special thing to do. In technical language, sometimes when in Parliament they're going to say something very important to the Queen, they talk about it being a prayer. It's seen as being something very important and significant. It's a special thing to do. So what happens for you in prayer? What do you think about most when you're thinking about praying? Is it perhaps when you're thinking of making a special request? Quite rightly, for many people, prayer will be an occasion when something important is happening and they want to say to God, please remember this or please think about this. So it would be, for example, that if somebody you knew or loved very much was in particular need, then of course you would want to pray for that person. It'd be a very special thing for you to want to do. And many of us will know of occasions where we prayed hard and mightily for something to happen which we felt was very important and special. But there is within that perhaps an almost assumption written that we sometimes don't think about, and that is that prayer can be understood to be about us wanting something to happen, us expecting God to do something, us asking God to do something. Again, as Father Philip said, we pray that unity will indeed come about if it is the Lord's will. But prayer, if we're not careful, can become that situation where we want God to do something. I often think that poor old God must have a headache when he listens to all of us all the time. All those words poured out, all those requests poured out, all those pleas being sent up. So sometimes when I go around thinking about prayer, I often remind people that prayer, of course, should be for us as Christians listening to what God says to us as well as talking to God. And that's fairly obvious. We all can think of that. We all believe that. We all believe, don't we, that prayer is about listening to God as well as talking to God. But in particular, I suppose, in thinking about coming here today, as we pass through yet another week of prayer for Christian Unity, as we go through the motions, if you like. Because let's be honest, we're not going to have unity at the end of this week, are we? Oh dear, should I have said that? But the reality is that most of us are stuck in our ways. Most of us actually know the way things are and know the way things we want them to be. And most of us, if we're honest, are not going to let go of those things that we think are really important. So it's really weird, isn't it, that we go through this thing called the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, but we hang on to those things that we know are pretty important. Because let's be honest, we know we're right. That's the kind of way it works. And so we play this weird game. And I just share with you that for me, presumably there is something in prayer that says there's a possibility that when we get up off our knees, metaphorically, if not literally, we might have changed. Do we allow that to be a possibility in thinking about prayer? When you say your prayers, at the end of it, be it a few seconds, a few minutes, or a few hours, there is the possibility that you might have changed. The process of praying might actually enable, allow, entail you changing. Do we ever even consider that as part of what we do in praying? And that, of course, entails within it the possibility of making the statement, could I ever be wrong? Just think of that for a moment. Okay, not too long. Could I ever be wrong? Could what I hold on to as the fundamentals, the way that I understand things, could that ever be wrong? I just share with you, brothers and sisters in Christ, that if we take prayer seriously, there ought to be involved within it the possibility that we may change, that we will change as a result of an encounter with God. And there is just also the possibility that we might be wrong. The second point I want to make with you is the simple one again that maybe many of us have at this time of year. We think about structural unity as being something that we look towards, and many of us spend a lot of our time working towards it. I'm the chairman at the moment of Churches Together in Cornwall, and we have meetings. We have meetings. That's good, isn't it? That'll bring about unity. We have a meeting. And we have many meetings. We don't go wild. We don't have too many. But we have meetings, and we talk to each other. We don't listen to each other. That would be silly, but we talk to each other. And we have lots of meetings. Will that bring about structural unity? For one of the great privileges I share at the moment is that I co-chair the national conversations that take place between the Anglican Church and the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic co-chair is the wonderful Archbishop Bernard Longley, the Archbishop of Birmingham. We have great times together. We listen very carefully to what each other says, and we engage in some conversations. What will happen as a result of those conversations? Is structural unity the goal? And in thinking of that, again, I ask the question, what am I prepared to let go? I brought with me some words which I often think about in this whole area. Somebody once wrote this, "My denomination must grow less in my eyes if I am to grow more towards Christ. I am willing that my denomination shall be forgotten if thereby may be hastened the unity of the Church of our Lord. That denomination is most prophetic that is willing to disappear for Christ's sake, to go to its disappearance as deliberately as Christ went to his crucifixion. I am willing that my denomination shall be forgotten if thereby may be hastened the unity of the Church of our Lord." Those words were written by a man called Peter Ainslie at the very first meeting of a thing called the Faith and Order Conference in 1927. Written a long time ago. Very powerful words, I find. Very challenging words for me. Am I, as a leader in one denomination, willing to accept it might be the case that my denomination shall be forgotten, if thereby may be hastened the unity of the Church of our Lord? What am I prepared to let go? The shape and structure of our churches is significant. But of course, what can be difficult is that shape and structure can become all important. But we have a dilemma here. One of the great phrases that I like to use, I sadly don't know who first gave it to me. Somebody once told me that a jellyfish can't dance. A jellyfish can't dance. Now, I think that's a really interesting statement. What it's saying is that you need some structure, some framework, some rules and regulations in order to improvise. You can't actually let go and be liberated unless you have a real sense of discipline and structure and framework. I think it's a fascinating model and picture for us as Christians, that on the one hand, we mustn't be over-regulated and with too much structure and focus on the wrong thing. And yet, on the other hand, Structure is important and significant. We need a framework and a structure. So how will we ever agree? How will we, brothers and sisters in Christ, ever agree? That makes me ask the question, is unity about agreeing on everything? I am at the moment, I believe, in a Roman Catholic Church. I do not wish to tread on your toes, but I just want to suggest to you it may be possible that even within the Roman Catholic Church, not everybody agrees about everything. And I'm willing to share with you, for what it's worth, the extraordinary revelation that within the Church of England, not everybody agrees about everything. Now there, you're shocked now, aren't you? The reality is that in any organisation, we get differences and disagreements. They often say, don't they, that the only pure church will be the one that's got me in it, and I'm not sure about me. So the real question is unity about agreeing on everything? And is structural unity the goal that we should put above everything else? Which leads me to my third and final point. The reading for today is from, as again Father Philip said, that extraordinary powerful prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples in St. John's Gospel just before he was arrested, and then he eventually went on to die on the cross for us. The whole chapter, chapter 17, is a prayer. In kind of percentage terms, it's a surprisingly large amount of the gospel that's taken up with a prayer. Jesus prayed before he died. What's quite interesting to notice to me, that his prayer was very purposeful. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. It's very purposeful. It's there for a reason. Again, I don't wish to tread on toes. I don't wish to wash my dirty linen in public. But I have to share with you that sometimes my great frustration in our church life is that too many of our churches don't seem to have any sense of purpose or direction. They become purposeless and irrelevant. Father Philip and I did work together in the wondrous Anglican Diocese of London, and I often tell people that the man who's bishop there now, Richard Charters, once shared with me that when he was the Bishop of Stepney, he went to visit a parish during the day to kind of find out what was going on. The parish didn't have a priest at the time, so he spent most of the day with church wardens. And as he carried on his visit, it became more and more obvious to the bishop that very little, if anything, was really happening. And the bishop got more and more frustrated. And eventually he said to one of the church wardens, "I don't see much sign of anything going on here." And the church warden said, "Ah, Bishop, you have to understand, it's lethargy that keeps us going." Is there a danger for us, whatever our church, whatever our denomination, whatever bit of our denomination we're in, that we become purposeless and irrelevant, particularly in our world at the moment? The Christian church is in danger of being pushed to the margins. And my biggest worry is that many Christians quite like being in the margins. It's quite a nice place to be. It's quite good to be in a place where nobody can listen to us, where we can go on grumbling to each other about how nobody takes any notice of us. And yet, in fact, we don't have to be there. We can get out of that place. What's been a great sign of growth and glory to me over the last 15 or 20 years is how many local churches together groups are working together, sometimes with extraordinary churches who never used to work with churches together groups, because there is a real need in the community. Many social action projects, many kingdom projects bring people together in order to do something about the common good, to speak out about injustice. That's great, but should it not also be that churches together groups can work together to proclaim the name of Jesus? For we as Christians share, whatever our differences, that we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Saviour. And certainly perhaps in this part of the world, as all parts of the world, we need to make sure that as Christians we articulate, we spell out, we make explicit our faith in Jesus Christ. We need to strive to be more confident in our faith. When faced with questions, what do? Hide? Run away? Be embarrassed? Or can we give an account for the hope that is within us? The year, I believe, is 2012. Here we meet once again to pray. As you say your prayers, can you allow the possibility that you might change as a result of that encounter with God? Let's not put as the primary goal structural unity at the moment, but let's rather consider what we should be doing as churches. Are we in danger of being irrelevant and not understanding what our purpose is? Or can we be clear about what we should be doing? Yes, speaking out, especially today, against injustice and on the side of the poor and the marginalized. Equally, yes, we are those who should be speaking out with joy and confidence because we know something about Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Jesus prayed, "As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Amen.